Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life center style conversation and discussion, and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's
fabulous Transformation Cafe. Well, good evening. We want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. And if you're dialing in and checking us out on demand after hours, we want to thank you so much for checking us out. We got a few of our diners scooting up to the table tonight, and we do have a guest chef in the house. So let's go ahead and talk to our diners real quick, and then we'll have our guest come on. So, Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
I am doing lovely. Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah, how was beautiful San Diego tonight?
I don't know about tonight, but during the day, it's been absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I like to call it Goldilocks weather. It's like, you know, it's just right.
Well, we've had the most amazing sunset this evening. It was the red sky with the red clouds that were just gyrated throughout the sunset. It was beautiful.
Yeah, we had something similar up in the Orange County Inland Empire area. I know what you're talking about. It was very beautiful tonight. So that's something I loved about, and we're going to talk about Hawaii a little bit tonight with Huna Energy. And that's something I love about Hawaiians. They just would really stop and they enjoy their sun. And I think that's just such a great thing for us to be in the moment and just appreciate how beautiful the world really is. So, Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Well, Mr. Jamie, you know, he's alive and kicking. He's calling from, talking in third person, he's calling from Seattle, Washington, and it's dumping up here, dumping rain.
Oh, it's dumping rain.
That's Mr. Jamie
that's
for
good.
You, right.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. You guys need some rain.
Right.
Right? We're needing rain up there. I'm going to send a little bit to Southern California, where I think we're actually supposed to get some this weekend, so we're looking forward to that as well. So tonight we have a guest chef in the house, Mr. Patrick Scott. Dr. Scott, he's a psychotherapist, and one of the reasons we've got him on the show tonight, he's also a Huna teacher, teaching about the Hawaiian traditions and some of the mysticism and shamanism of the Hawaiian Islands. So how are you, Patrick?
I'm great. Thanks for asking, and thanks for having me on the show. I'm calling from Las Vegas, Nevada, where we may have hit 80 degrees today. I'm not quite sure, but it's beautiful, and I think winter's over, and so it's time for some warmer weather. It's great. I know it's only February, but we have a very short winter here, and it was actually just absolutely beautiful. I've grown used to it. As they say, it's a dry heat, kind of like a hot oven. I do like it. I come from Minnesota originally, and so it's quite a climate change.
Yeah, it's very much a climate change. And then you're hanging out in, now, do you go to Hawaii a couple times a year for extensive training for the Huna? You continue to do that?
Yeah,
with,
I do.
You're doing?
And I'll talk more about what Huna is. It's the ancient art of Hawaiian shamanism, actually. And I go twice a year for about 2.5 weeks, 16, 17 days at a time. And they are 12-hour days. And it's kind of total immersion in the culture and the way of what used to be called a kahuna, meaning the spiritual kind of guide or our equivalent of a shaman or a priest or a preacher or a practitioner, a healer. The kahuna back in the day was the one, you know, who would be kind of the advisor to the king and do a lot around mysticism and shamanism, healing, a lot of different kinds of healing arts.
So what is Huna?
Well, huna literally translated in Hawaiian means secret, and there's kind of a funny story about how that name, I'll talk about what it literally is in a moment, but huna literally means secret. And when the Captain Cook first discovered the Hawaiian Islands, there had been a culture there for thousands, as far as we know, thousands of years. And it was quite an intact and protected culture. Many people don't know that the Hawaiian Islands are actually the most isolated archipelago of islands in the world. They're surrounded on all sides, obviously, by the Pacific Ocean. And two things. The first thing that, you know, the Captain Cook and his folks, the missionaries, eventually started coming to try to convert the natives to Christianity. And they would notice people with, you know, kind of priestly-looking robes doing certain rituals, just like you would in a church. And they would be waving their hands and kind of breathing in different kinds of ways. And the missionaries would ask, you know, what's going on, what's up? And the Hawaiian natives would say, shh, that's huna, which just meant it's secret, it's protected, it's sacred, we don't talk about it, it's not for common discussion or dialogue. It's very, there was a lot of reverence around the rituals, at the temples and that kind of thing. So that name sort of stuck, and what people don't realize also is that the one-letter difference between hula, the dance, and huna, the secret practice of ancient Hawaiian mysticism, hula came out of huna, meaning the dance was a physical expression, certainly of art and expression of the culture, but there was a lot of reverence and sacredness held in the dance as well. And so when people hear huna and occasionally they'll say, oh, you danced the hula, I will say one letter difference, but big difference.
Well,
I have danced
the hula.
I have, and I do, and I drum and I chant, but I have certainly done it, but I would prefer to call myself a huna practitioner than a hula practitioner.
I do certainly support.
Well, and there is certainly some cross pollinization. Hula in Hawaii is would be the equivalent of I guess it could be like martial arts or like ballet or taekwondo or soccer. And so you'll have soccer moms here in Las Vegas taking their kids to soccer practice. And in Hawaii, you have hula moms that have their girls and boys at a very small age study the dance and really get in touch with their bodies by virtue of the dance and the traditions of ancient Hawaii and learn a lot of the chants and the songs. And so it's very, very much indigenous to the culture. And I would say in the last 15 years or so, there's been a wonderful renaissance of Hawaiian culture in the islands. I am not Hawaiian. I have no Hawaiian blood in me. And one of my teachers, my primary teacher, is also not of Hawaiian blood or lineage, although he grew up there. But what's wonderful is that the Hawaiian culture really was on the verge or danger of extinction, much like our Native Americans here on the mainland, because, you know, chanting in Hawaiian was outlawed. The hula, actually the missionaries, wanted to make the hula illegal because they felt it was too sexual. And so one of the older kahunas lined up a bunch of five-year-olds in front of, this is back in the 19th century, and had the five-year-olds do some dancing for these missionaries, helping them realize that it's really not sexual. It's not intended to be sexual. It's an expression of culture and lineage, which is very important to the Hawaiian people.
I've been to Hawaii a couple times, and it's so neat to see the competitions that they do
right.
in hula.
Yeah, exactly.
and it's amazing the amount of physical ability that you need to have with just the teamwork and everything else that they do, and the level of dedication when they're preparing for these competitions is just really, it's like any other sport. It's just really, really amazing the level of skill and dedication that they
well,
put into
and
it.
People,
so that's
yeah,
very, very
need
cool.
to realize that it is absolutely dedication, and mm-hmm. if you are a member of what's called a halau, which means school, I'm trying to think of a similar tradition. I guess it would be like belonging to a member like of a dojo, like a martial arts community, where it's a community and it's very much dedicated to that house or that dojo, And there is a master, a teacher called it in Hawaiian, Kumu. In Japanese, it would be sensei. And there is great dedication. And many of the girls that I have worked with in the last 8 to 10 years have been dancing since they were three. I mean, literally since mm-hmm. they were three. And they're now yeah. many of them are mothers, and it's a lifelong dedication. If not to the halau or school itself, certainly many of the girls will, you know, go away to college and they'll come back and maybe they'll get married and have their own children. But to stay connected to the halau, and there are many levels of dancers as well. And it is not these days, you know, necessary to practice hula, to dance hula, just like I don't dance the hula now, although uh-huh. I will support our students at the workshops that we have in Hawaii. I'll chant and I will drum for the students, among a lot. And I would be called a more or less an advanced student. I'm still very much a student of hula. And we will chant and drum in the ancient way for the students as they learn the hula and elements of the hula tradition.
Oh, that's very, very cool. And it looks like Las Vegas has a really large Hawaiian community there.
It actually, I'm told, I don't have independent verification, but that it has the highest per capita concentration of original Hawaiians outside of the islands. It has become a very popular destination to retire and to live for many Hawaiians. And so feel like I do teach classes here in Las Vegas monthly on hula. And I'm impressed and just so pleased at the turnout of some of the folks. And actually, I'll be honest, a little intimidated when an elder or a kupuna will come to my class, and I feel like I have to really be very careful how I pronounce the chants and how I channel the energy.
You're sticking out
because,
you to make sure you're being authentic with the information. Yeah, that's good.
Exactly. And so it's very humbling and very much an honor to have a kupuna show up at a class that I'm teaching. And I teach, you know, introduction to hula and basic elements and basic healing techniques and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get to talking about that in a little bit. Now, how long have you been working with hula, and how did you get into it?
You know, my story starts a long time ago. I was originally a teacher and then went back to graduate school and became a social worker and then ultimately got my doctorate in hypnotherapy. When I started my doctoral program almost a decade ago, one of the electives in the class, in the university, was hula. And for some reason, it just drew me. And I don't know if any of your listeners have had this experience where you don't know what it is, you don't know anything about it, but there's this absolutely compelling force where you just know you have to take that class. And so I took it. I just signed up for it. And like I said, it was an elective. I could have taken other classes. This one seemed to, and I read a little bit about it in the course schedule, and man, signed up and went, and it spoke to me. And I had been to Hawaii many, many times as a tourist, and I got married in Hawaii and have been very connected to the islands just for no apparent reason. You know, one of those kinds of, I've just always been attracted to that culture. And when I started studying the discipline and the art of hula, it just really spoke to me. And as one of our kumu will say, you know, welcome home. If you have that feeling, because it's pretty esoteric, it's pretty out there, I'll be honest. It contains many elements of many esoteric teachings, but what's different about the Hawaiian traditions is that it remained relatively intact for thousands of years. And so we have documents that show us how it was practiced, you know, many, many years ago. I started as a therapist, and got licensed in California as a psychotherapist many years ago, and practiced for a long time, really pure cognitive behavioral therapy. I worked in hospitals and worked in clinics and did very conventional and effective, you know, just as effective kinds of treatments. And then I had a calling. I knew that I wanted to study more. I am a Buddhist. I've been a Buddhist since I was 16. I was having a lot of spiritual experiences and psychic experiences and unexplainable experiences, and I wanted to learn more about mysticism, about life, the universe, because I knew intuitively that there was more to life than, you know, we know. And so I really, for the last 20 or so years, have been really focused on demystifying the esoteric arts, helping people understand that the New Age or things like Reiki or anything that may be non-conventional Western is nothing to be afraid of, but really a wonderful resource of tools to incorporate. So today, I mean, I do that in my clinic here in Las Vegas, but people can certainly have hypnotherapy or neuro-linguistic programming or HUNA or anything that they want. Because I think that, you know, as difficult as things are in our society and in our planet right now, we need all the resources and tools we can get. And so that's kind of how I came into it. And I've literally gone twice a year now for, I think it's 8 years. I'll be going again in a couple of weeks. I think it's been eight or nine consecutive years twice a year for 15 to 16 days at a time.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. So what are the benefits of HUNA?
HUNA is a collection of, I will say, teachings that occur in many other cultures. And one of the sayings in Hawaiian is, think that not all wisdom is in your school. If you've spent any time in Hawaii, the native Hawaiians are typically very humble and very grounded and kind of earthy. And they don't have a lot of the arrogance that many cultures have about, you know, our way is the only way and our way is the right way and you have to do it our way or you're going to go somewhere nasty. And so and that's what I really appreciate about the culture. And modern HUNA teachers will point to other cultures like the ancient Egyptians and, you know, Santeria or Native American ritual or Reiki or, you know, many other kinds of cultures that have wonderful and very effective healing modalities. What's different about HUNA is that taken together, it is a collection of rituals and arts and skills that include meditation, that include interaction with the elements, that include divination or prediction, psychic abilities, that include chanting, that include certainly dance, as we've discussed, music. It includes healing and energy work. It includes, for lack of a better term, and I won't use the Hawaiian term, you know, angels, entities, spirits, connection with other realms, interdimensional vortices, and on and on and on. And it is a complete system. The Hawaiians, and the cool part about this is that at the same time the Chinese medical system was forming, you know, with the five elements, you know, the Hawaiians had four elements, and which corresponds to what was going on in Egypt. And so these were things that were happening on the planet pretty much simultaneously over the course of thousands, maybe tens of thousands of years, but different people evolved in a similar way, coming up with this understanding that life is energy and that life and energy can be neither created nor destroyed. And the concept of cause and effect, which comes from Buddhism, also is in the Hawaiian HUNA system. So in a practical sense, there is no kahuna any longer because the system that created the kahuna no longer exists. But there are people like myself who are students. There's about, I'm going to say there's probably a fewer than 100 practitioners on the planet right now that are pretty well versed in this entire system. So it's not a widely known nor widely practiced discipline, not certainly as much as Reiki or acupuncture, acupressure, things like that. But as a system, it is fascinating to couple both meditation, sound vibration, in along with energy work and healing, and the results that people get is pretty remarkable.
Mm-hmm. So when you're going to study the HUNA, what would be considered the minimal amount of time for you to be able to say that you would be a practitioner of HUNA?
Okay, that's a great question. The class occurs and has occurred for the last, at least 20 years, maybe 25 years, twice a year, the same time each year. And there are levels, as there are with Reiki or anything else, and you would go to, you can certainly go, and with me, you could come to my class and do a 90-minute intro where I teach you a little meditation or something. But to become a level one student, you would go to the first level, which is a 15, 16, level one I think is a 10-day training, 9 or 10-day training. And there you would be have the opportunity to learn learn how to release negative emotions, learn how to release limiting decisions, internal conflicts. You would learn how to meditate if you don't know how to already. Engage with the elements and what the elements mean to your physical body. The opportunity to do some physical activity with the hula, chanting, and really be totally immersed in that particular system for 9 or 10 days. And at level one, it's really focused on the individual and what they can get out of it in terms of their own healing and letting go of some of the, as we call them, black bags that have accumulated. Anyone that goes to level one can come back to level two, and that's kind of how it goes. And there are 4 levels altogether. And once you attain level 4, it's kind of an advanced teaching program that would become a full initiator and introduced to symbology and everything. But there's 4 levels, and the first one obviously is introducing. The second one adds more learning, and you engage with the Hawaiian called are a vaiku, and they are connecting with spirit, the loosely translated spirit guides, entities connecting with the other side, that kind of thing. Level 3, I affectionately call Hogwarts Magic School. It's about sending energy, sending thought forms. It's about actually working and playing with energy in a more complete way. After level 3, all students are asked to come back and assist for a class to give back to the school, and then once you've given back for a class, you come back for level 4. So to become a level 4 student, it takes a full 2.5 years, and it's quite a commitment. And then once you're at level 4, you can start to teach. You can start to have permission. I have permission to share this lineage, given my level in the organization. Meaning, I teach it, and we do so with permission and out of great respect and reverence. Not in a religious way, but just it's always a little scary to me where someone takes a class and pronounces themselves as a grandmaster and begins to act as though they know everything. In very much similar to the Buddhist and Eastern tradition, my particular teacher, or Kumu, has said that he won't consider himself a Kumu until his Kumu dies. And so it's a very culture steeped in great respect for elders, great respect for those that have come before you. And so I really appreciate that.
Yeah, that's really, and that's those kind of traditions and just a level of commitment with that. So you have classes that you're teaching at the Enchanted Forest in Las
right.
Vegas, which is a healing Reiki center, and you can
yes.
go online and actually just put Patrick Scott Las Vegas in there, especially with HUNA training, and you come popping right up, which is wonderful. So what weekend do you do the training on a monthly basis?
Yeah, it's been the last Friday of the month, and I'm just going to make sure that I don't misquote. The next class is Friday the 28th of February at 7 p.m. at the Enchanted Forest, and it'll be class number 5 of 5. But there's no prerequisite. I just have been – this is the first time, really, these things have been taught in a very small 90-minute chunk. So this is the 5th class in a series. We'll be meditating on the elements and learning how to engage with elements. And I have to say, I'm just so touched by the feedback and the enthusiasm of the students. I come from the medical community. I'm a doctor, and I sometimes have lost, enthusiasm for our healthcare system. And it's kind of a popular scapegoat right now. I have to say, since I've been teaching more and appearing on shows like this and on television, that what I appreciate so much about the New Age community is the openness and the acceptance and the gratitude and appreciation. And I have folks in my classes I absolutely know are masters in their disciplines, are absolutely very talented practitioners in their own right, and they are so kind and giving of their time and energy and really dig in and really practice, and it's just really a lot of fun for me. Whereas historically in the medical community, this stuff is kind of weird and kind of spooky, and we tend to ignore it or say that it's too new age or too woo-woo or whatever the term is. And I'm so excited to report that in my own practice, and I do see patients of all types, there is such a great curiosity and acceptance by medical, more traditional Western professionals of this stuff. And I'm happy to say that of the 40 or so active patients that I have now, at least half of them are medical doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, and people who, out of their either experience with traditional Western medicine, have had lackluster results, or they're just innate curiosity about how some of these teachings can impact them, have really rallied around in support. And I'm really pleased, actually, as the first public announcement I've made just last week, I was appointed as a professor of the University of Nevada School of Medicine to their Child and Adolescent Psychiatry Fellowship to teach hypnosis, to teach neuro-linguistic programming, to teach some of these things to psychiatrists. And that,
wow, congratulations.
It's really a big deal because the medical community, the psychiatric community, and I'm immersed in it every day, people historically had stuff to lose. You know, for those of you that know Brian Weiss, and he wrote his book, Many Lives, Many Masters, 30 years ago, but my first mentor, he mentored me in past life regression, he had a lot more to lose than I do. He paved the way for me to be able to do this, and I'm just so tickled that folks are showing up. And then after the class, thankfully, they introduce themselves, and we're getting people from all disciplines, all walks of life. Many, like I said, conventional physicians, pain management doctors, dentists, people like that, who are seeing the applications of not just this, but this and any of the more spiritually or intuitively related arts.
This may sound over the top, but that brings me to tears. For so many years, I have envisioned being able to speak the same language. I am just very briefly, my history, I started out of high school working in traditional medicine and then moved into the esoteric and the metaphysical. And I really appreciate how they complement each other. And for the longest time, I have been very interested in being able to promote that so that our medical practice can work in combination as well as the metaphysical work in concert with the two professions, each other, because they have so much to share with each other and people have so much to gain. And it just takes opening up the mind to the possibilities and just the simple understanding. And even if it's not embraced, just the idea that people take the time to know what other people are finding important in their own life. So that makes me very happy to hear that.
Well, and just the amount of growth
and
transformation that's possible now, it's people, like you said, just being in a sense of like, let me be open-minded to what's out there for myself and just, maybe a new avenue that I hadn't really thought about before. That's just very, very cool. So we've got about a minute and a half left. Patrick, what are good, if people are interested in getting having you for a session or getting in a little more information about the classes, how can they get a hold of you?
Oh, there's many ways. The easiest way is probably to just Google Dr. Patrick Scott, and I will come up with, I have about 5 different websites that I'm a part of. I'm Psychology Today as well, again, Dr. Patrick Scott. And our clinic is called Heads Up Guidance and Wellness Centers of Nevada or neurohypnoticsciences.com. There's many ways to get to us. Also, if you're interested in reading more about my teachers and the lineage that I come from, just simply HUNA.com, HUNA.com, Dr. Matthew James, Kumu Etua Lopez. We're all very committed that this is really awesome stuff, and it's not for everybody. It requires a level of dedication and commitment that many folks certainly can't commit to. But we're with many of us coming along as rather neophyte teachers. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of offerings from the HUNA community. I'm certainly excited about it, and so appreciate your time and attention tonight.
Oh, well, thank you for being a guest. We always love a guest chef. So, and next weekend, I'm going to be doing a flower wisdom, and Patrick's going to be one of my guests at a tea that we're going to be having on Friday night. So if anybody wants to come and play with some flowers and see what they have to say about them, and perhaps be able to have an opportunity to talk to Patrick, we'll both be available. So we want to thank you guys again for a wonderful show, and I look forward to seeing you, Patrick, and everybody have a great night, and thanks for joining us here at the cafe.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.